Imagine packing up your family, leaving the Arizona desert, and moving to rural Appalachia with a radical goal: to spend an entire year eating only what you can grow yourself or source locally. This is precisely what Barbara Kingsolver and her family did, swimming against the cultural tide in a nation where most people have lost all connection to their food sources. Their journey began with a stark realization. Their desert life depended on borrowed water, creating an impossible moral dilemma between robbing Mexico's water or guzzling Saudi Arabia's gas. The contrast between their old and new homes crystallized in two encounters: an Arizona cashier scowling at approaching rain clouds that might interfere with car washing, versus a Virginia waitress welcoming rain with a simple, "Don't we need it?" This agricultural mindset, understanding that rain means life, not inconvenience, confirmed they had found their place. Their mission wasn't about primitive living, but reclaiming essential knowledge that most humans throughout history considered necessary for survival, knowledge that has vanished from our culture because we've convinced ourselves it wasn't important.
We've become so disconnected from our food that we rename animals after death. Cow becomes beef, fear garden soil, and many don't know potatoes grow underground. This agricultural amnesia affects us economically. 85 cents of every food dollar goes to processors and marketers, while we complain about organic prices that might return more than 15 cents to farmers. Post-World War II chemical farming created surpluses, while policy shifts transformed corn and soybeans into industrial materials. Factory farms replaced pastures, with 70% of Midwestern farmland shifting to monocrops. American farms now produce 3,900 calories per person daily, twice what we need, while the food industry devises ways to make us consume them through processing and marketing. Unlike cultures maintaining traditional food relationships, Americans have developed a national eating disorder. We follow fad diets dictating what to eliminate rather than celebrating food positively. Government policy recommends more fruits and vegetables while subsidizing commodity crops for soda and cheap burgers. Our children may be the first generation with shorter life expectancy than their parents due to diet-related diseases. Kingsolver introduces the Vegetanual, an imaginary plant producing all vegetables in sequence through one growing season. This follows nature's order: spring's leafy greens, mature leaf and flower heads, tender young fruits, green beans and small tomatoes, fully ripened fruits, hard-shelled fruits with developed seeds, and finally, root crops. This progression represents the necessary biological sequence for annual plants. Our culture has normalized having every food available year-round, with whole continents colliding discreetly on a white tablecloth regardless of season. Yet this convenience comes at a steep environmental cost. Transporting a single calorie of fresh fruit from California to New York requires about 87 calories of fuel. The family chose asparagus, the first true vegetable of spring, to mark the beginning of their local food experiment. Having planted it 3 years earlier, they watched for signs of life in their mountainside garden. Asparagus has a 2,500-year culinary history, appearing in ancient Greek recipes and Egyptian hieroglyphics. Romans chartered ships for the best spears and preserved them in alpine snow. The plant requires respect. Harvest too young and it dies from vegetable despair. Even mature plants can only be harvested for 8 weeks before farmers must let the plant win, making fresh asparagus season brief. Waiting for foods to come into season transforms eating from routine maintenance to recreation, the paradox where restraint equals indulgence. Heirloom vegetables captivate not just for their poetic names, but because these names represent real stories, varieties preserved across generations. Modern consumers taste less than 1% of vegetable varieties grown a century ago. This agricultural diversity loss is global. Peruvian farmers who once grew 4,000 potato varieties now cultivate just dozens. According to Vandana Shiva, humans historically ate 80,000 plant species, yet 3/4 of our food now comes from just 8 species. The 1970 Plant Variety Protection Act, making plant varieties patentable, accelerated this loss. Today, six corporations control 98% of global seed sales. Geneticist Jack Harlan warned these vanishing genetic resources stand between us and catastrophic starvation. Fortunately, a revival is underway as heirlooms appear in restaurants and farmers markets. Unlike endangered wildlife, rare domesticated foods can be saved by eating them, creating demand that encourages farmers to grow them. The family-raised heritage bourbon red turkeys and partridge rock chickens that retained natural behaviors unlike broad-breasted whites, birds so overbred they can't fly, forage, or mate naturally. Industrial animal production in CAFOs focuses solely on converting creatures into meat quickly, with animals never seeing grass or sunlight. On harvest day, the family approached the task with solemnity and respect, with children helping process the birds by hand. Research shows grass-finished beef and free-range eggs contain significantly different nutrient profiles than factory-farmed alternatives, lower in saturated fats, higher in vitamin E, beta-carotene, and omega-3 fatty acids, with reduced risk of bacterial contamination. The family balanced the nutritional reality that humans evolved as omnivores with the ethical imperative to treat food animals with dignity. Despite working full-time for 19 years, Barbara refused to rush family meals. Dinnertime became their family's mental health cornerstone, where 75% of crucial parenting happens. The food industry exploited women's liberation with a devil's bargain, convenient but nutritionally poor foods. We traded nurturing food routines for processed convenience while both parents work full-time with domestic responsibilities neglected. The solution isn't returning to full-time homemaking, but reframing mealtimes as creative family opportunities rather than chores. Home cooking with quality ingredients costs pennies compared to commercial alternatives. Households that abandon cooking lose something profound: sensory experiences like rising dough and sizzling stir-fries, and the collaborative dynamic of preparing meals together. In modern food culture, our diminished role to merely poking the thing in our mouths creates an alienation where we can't connect poor food with declining well-being. By the end of their year-long experiment, the Kingsolver family had embraced local eating as their new normal. They discovered that local food availability responds directly to consumer demand. Even simply telling grocery cashiers you're looking for local produce can make a difference. Economically, they saved about $7,500 annually, spending minimal amounts on necessities like organic flour, olive oil, and fair trade coffee. Their experience revealed how personal choices impact larger systems. Our seemingly inexpensive conventional food carries hidden costs in subsidies, healthcare, and environmental damage, at least $725 per household annually beyond the sticker price. Eating locally isn't about deprivation, but about developing a relationship with food's entire journey, from soil to table. As Wendell Berry notes, "Eaters must understand how we eat determines how the world is used." The family learned that individual food choices can indeed change the world, one meal at a time. What if your next grocery trip became the first step in your own food revolution?